today on Real Life Radio.
By Christ, you have now the power to reject or to refuse or to fight off the wicked one. The only way that you could wind up in hell today is if you refuse the love of God through Christ Jesus. That's pretty amazing.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. U.S. strikes, Israel on alert, Iran escalating. Does anyone else feel like today's headlines sound straight out of Bible prophecy? Jesus told us these days would come, not so we'd panic, but so we'd be prepared. That's why we created the Prophecy Pack, Understanding God's Plan for the Future, a practical guide to help you live ready. Don't just watch the news. Understand it through God's Word. Get your Prophecy Pack now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. On today's special Easter Passion Week edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now with his message called Live, Jesus is the King. We're glad you could join us today. This Passion Week of Easter has so many emotions tied to it, doesn't it? The death and resurrection of Jesus takes us from grief to joy over the fact that he rose again from that grave as the King of Israel and the Savior of the world. So today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, Pastor Jack teaches us that the coming of the King was the promise of the Scriptures. One of the actual eyewitnesses told us of this day in 32 AD when Jesus Christ arrived in Jerusalem on a donkey as the people laid down their clothes and palms before him. Now, with his Passion Week message called Live, Jesus is the King, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Well, hey, listen, this is Pastor Jack, and I'm excited to be speaking to our weekend audience. You are a different group of people from our weekday listeners, but I'm going to attempt, by God's grace, to bring you all together at this very special season. Our Passion Week 2026 begins this series, Live. And it's all about the Passion Week of the Lord Jesus Christ, our very Messiah. And we're going to be talking about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and of course, his sacrificial death upon the cross and his glorious resurrection from the dead. So it's going to be a great time together. We are going to kick it off. Live, Jesus is the King. Passion Week, Palm Sunday's message. Hey, here's the fun part about it. You are our weekend listeners, but we want to pull you on over to our weekday listeners as well. So after today, the series continues on our weekday program, and we hope to see you over there.
Pastor Jack, I got to tell you, I'm excited to be here as we're going into this Easter season. Now, Palm Sunday is one of the most dramatic moments in the life of Jesus, right? The crowds, they're shouting, and the city's buzzing, and something historic is happening, right? Now, in this message, you talk about how Palm Sunday wasn't just a celebration. It was actually the announcement that the promised Messiah had arrived. So tell us what was really happening the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem.
Well, thank you. That question is one of the most profound questions that every single human being must consider. I beg of you to consider, because it's actually down to a science. And I mean that sincerely, that the book of Daniel tells us that Israel's Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey that's never been ridden before. That's Zechariah 9. Daniel tells you down to the day of the Messiah's first arrival to the nation as the sacrificial king. And what's amazing about that is Daniel chapter 9, the timeline he gives us, can literally be studied as a science. In fact, the great Sir Isaac Newton did that very thing. He studied Daniel's prophecies, especially Daniel chapter 9, and broke that down and would show you that Israel should have known the very day. Well, guess what? Jesus says, Israel, if you had only known, this is your day. They didn't know, at least many of them didn't know, because of neglect. And I got to tell you, Davey, far too many of us miss so much of what God wants to do because we neglect his word.
You know what I love is that you mentioned that if the crowd had stayed silent, which they didn't, of course, Jesus said that the stones themselves would cry out. What does that say about who Jesus really is?
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome to think. Jesus is hinting that, hey, if you guys don't want to get with the program, you should know that all of creation is already with the program. I mean, to the point that these rocks, I mean, I don't know what was going to happen if what he's saying would have happened. Rocks of all shapes and sizes would have started somehow praising the Lord. Is that an earthquake? Are those little voices and big voices? What was that? Would they rumble together? I don't know. But he, listen, God cannot exaggerate. So that, I almost wish Jesus would have said, shh, everybody, everybody be quiet for a moment. Let's hear this rock concert. Yeah.
You know, what's really interesting is that some people in the crowd are praising him, of course, while others are already kind of opposing him. And not even kind of, but actually opposing him. And that divided reaction, well, it still exists today.
Yeah, I think it's always going to exist. In fact, Jesus said concerning the last days, he said, don't be surprised if people hate you because they hated me first. So isn't that amazing? In fact, look around right now at this time of the year, at this season. The world is doing everything it can to try to mask and hide the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, there's television channels right now. I won't name them. I don't want to get sued by some of these PBS type of channels and stuff. But, you know, here's what really happened at the tomb. Jesus didn't really die. He was, you know, all these things, rather than believing God's word for what it says, they're fighting against it. That's never going to end. It's always going to be that way.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Welcome to Passion Week. This is it. It starts today, and you're going to hear the reasons why today is the commencement of Passion Week. Today, affectionately known as Palm Sunday. I'll do my best to contain myself, and I'll do my best to get through this study in a timely way. But so here's the theme for the whole week. It's deliberately this way. What does that word say? How many say live? Raise your hands. How many say live? You're not sure. Most of you didn't vote at all. Watch. The answer is correct. The answer is yes. Yes, what? Yes, live. And yes, live. Because this week, starting today, we are going to walk you through 1,993 years ago. That then was April 6th, 32 AD. That was last week, by the way. That we walk you through what is now today acknowledged this day, this Sunday, the commencement of Passion Week, and this is Palm Sunday. 1,993 years ago, this Sunday, we recognize that what was going on in Jerusalem was Jesus presenting himself. And in my mind, I see cameras, I see all of television and broadcasting materials and trucks and agents that are out there representing the news. Jesus is coming to town and it's being captured live, but it's all about you and I discovering at the end of this week how to live. And so live, we look now, Jesus is the King. Father God, we ask in the name of Jesus, we approach you in the Holy Spirit to you, Father God, that you would speak to us out of your word, and by doing so, transform all of us today. Lord, we need transformation. We need change. We need to be renewed. Some in this room, some watching right now, they need new life. And so, Father God, we pray that you inhabit now the praises of your people as we study your word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated, everybody. And I guess we should start out with the overview or introduction of the text that's before us, or technically the context. And it's this. The scripture reading of today, imagine this, the scripture reading that you're holding on your lap, the ancient Bible, is an account of eyewitnesses regarding the very day that we've gathered today to celebrate, Palm Sunday. And it's a remarkable thing, especially for those of you who are either unbelievers or you're filled with doubt. You don't know if it makes sense for you to put your faith and trust or your hope in Jesus. Well, I want to ask you to pay especially close attention as we go through this study today, because we just read an ancient document, happens to be in the Bible, of an actual event. Now, I don't know if we have this graphic or not, but I took a picture of this in an airport, and it's a National Geographic's cover, and it's, maybe you've seen it, and it says the story of God, or the story about God. And I took a picture of that. Again, I don't know if it made it to our graphics team or not. But I was immediately drawn to the cover because I don't believe in the title of the National Geographic. The Story of God? The Story of God. What comes to your mind when you think of stories? I think of nursery rhymes, stories. I think of things that are very, very fanciful and beautiful, but they're not real. The Story of God. No, it's not the story of God. It's the facts of God. It's the reality of God. And you have in your lap the very account that God has given us. And you might say, well, you know what? That is like circular reasoning. You're quoting the Bible to enforce the Bible, and you need to get outside your own pool to get a different look. Thank you for that advice. Yes, if we look at the Roman Empire, secular Roman Empire that ruled that part of the ancient world at that time, even in Roman Empire artifacts and in documentation is the existence of Jesus of Nazareth, is this day called Palm Sunday. Listen up, skeptics, listen up. This day called Palm Sunday shook the power brokers of the world, by that the Roman Empire, on this day. It created nothing but troubles for the Roman Empire and for the Jewish nation from this moment forward. This is a day that you and I are not only to celebrate, we are to know. We are commanded in Scripture to know this. But do keep this in mind. And I got to tell you, I'm going to be very honest, but I'm going to be very, very relevant today. There is not only a march right now, it's going to increase and it's coming to you. A march of deception whereby there's rhetoric being out there and it's polluting your children in colleges and universities. That number one, there was never a temple in Jerusalem. Your kids are being taught that in school right now. You say, well, my kid doesn't go to a religious school. They're hearing it at UCLA. They're hearing it at USC. They're hearing it at, you name the school, Purdue. They're hearing it. There was never a temple in Jerusalem. This is an agenda. I'm not making it up. The other thing is this. There never was a Jewish state. They're hearing that. And there never was a Holocaust. They're hearing that. Down this list, you want to know why? You want to know why? It's all about literally getting down to one person. It's all about one name, and that name is Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who was born in Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Israel. It's Jesus who you read a moment ago went to the temple to overturn the tables. Where was that? Jerusalem. If you begin to rewrite history, you can begin to remove Jesus from the factor. And let's remember, history is his story. And when you tamper with it, you do that to your own destruction. Very important.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
What we're going to be looking at all this week, friends, is the fact that we're looking at historical reality. And it's not just recorded in the Bible. By the way, it was factually what was happening. It was seen by all, believer and unbeliever alike. And also this, it was the very plan of God. See, well, how do you know? Because the Bible tells us by the way of prophecy all about this week to come. So the truth is, the argument is this. If you don't believe what we're going to be talking about today, you better have a good reason why. And boy, you better tell God all about it and educate him as to where he's wrong. I'm laying down some heavy sarcasm right here to hopefully get you to be thinking. And by the way, before we dive into this, will you mark this down? I love this. You know, there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If it was an audible, it would be quadraphonic, we would say, right? What's quad? Four, sonic, audio. From four different angles, you got four different eyewitnesses speaking to you about the accounts of Christ called the Gospels. I love that. Each of them, like overlays, many of you are too young to know what I'm about to say, but when I was in school, there used to be an overhead projector, and you would lay down image, vellum, but image number one, which show you the foundation of the building. On top of that, image number two, which is added on, and it shows you, you know, the wall structures or the outline. Image number three shows you the decor or the layout of the building. And image number four shows you the roof and the chimney or whatever it might be. And after you lay all four down, you get a perfect rendering of the whole house. Are you with me? The four Gospels is a perfect rendering of the full message. Here's the thing. You can get the message out of each of them alone. But when you read them together, you see this incredible fullness of great detail. Why did God do this? Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established, the Bible tells us. And I think God threw a fourth Gospel in just to make us extra happy. No, that's not true. He threw a fourth Gospel in because before the throne of God are seraphim, and these images are shouting to God, shouting to eternity, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And as they shout, they have one head. Each of them have one head, but they have four faces on that one head. And those four faces represent the four Gospels. And they've been there for all eternity, since they were created. They were created creatures. And why do I say that? Mark it down, please, and we'll dive in and we'll go. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. This is your homework for this week. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. Mark, which is interesting, Mark's gospel, it's not technically Mark's gospel. Did you know that Mark interviewed Peter? It's Peter's gospel, but it's called the Gospel of Mark. This is Peter's account. Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. Please write that down. Put it in the margins of your scripture here. And of course, Luke chapter 19, verses 29 to 48 or so, 49, 48. And then John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. Four gospels providing an infallible, admissible in court, forensic file of data for us to study. For every skeptic, for every non-believer, but certainly for us who are of the household of faith. Number one, folks, Jesus is the king. He's the king. There is no other king. All kings of earth only act out in their place who he is. He is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. And we commence this week of celebration. Number one, Jesus is the king, and he's the coming. It is the coming of the king that we cannot deny all on this Palm Sunday. And it's this way. He was the promise of the scripture. Christ was the promise of the scripture. Why would we believe in Jesus Christ? We call ourselves Christians. Let's just throw that title out. We are not defined by a title. We are defined by what we believe. So are you, by the way. No matter what you believe, you are defined by what you believe. What you believe is what you do. Whatever it is you're doing, it's because that's what you believe. So whatever label, I'm not too thrilled about labels. I am thrilled about this. The fact of the matter is Jesus Christ was the promised king throughout all of Scripture. Now, obviously, time doesn't allow us to go through all of these, but we'll go with the most foundational. How's that? Where is Jesus promised to be our king, the king, in Scripture? Genesis 3, verse 15. The Bible says, and this church knows it well, God's first prophetic promise is that of salvation. God speaks to Lucifer, to Satan, and says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman," that is Eve and her offspring, "between your seed," that is Satan's offspring, "and her offspring," her seed. And that word seed in Hebrew speaks of a divine coming. "He will bruise your head," or crush your head, "and you will crush or bruise his heel." That's a fascinating statement, church family. My Jewish friends, listen up. According to Moses, Genesis 3, verse 15, the Messiah of the world, the King of Kings, and the Savior of all mankind would somehow, figure it out, verse 15, Genesis 3, he would somehow come into this world in such a way that he had to be born. Sound familiar? I know it's not Christmas. We'll get to that months from now. Whoever this is, he's got to come into the world. He's got to come from the seed of woman through a human. Oh, and by the way, what does he accomplish? He crushes Satan's head. He bruises Satan's head. Who could that possibly be? Think of it. I'm being sarcastic now. Just getting started with the sarcastic stuff. But Satan will crush his heel, meaning Satan will inflict pain upon him. One is a survivable wound, the other is not survivable. And when Christ came into the world, his crucifixion and his resurrection crushed the head of Satan's power. And you think about that for a moment. No longer can Satan grab you, as it were, by the face and lead you into destruction. By Christ, you have now the power to reject or to refuse or to fight off the wicked one. The only way that you could wind up in hell today is if you refuse the love of God through Christ Jesus. That's pretty amazing. Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, just as he, that is God, chose us in Christ before the world or foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Watch this. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Wow. Verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. That means you can know what God wants. It's no secret. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's a deep statement. That's awesome. Point is, God had his salvation predetermined before man was ever brought into this world. God knew, and that great deliverance comes through the coming of the great King. And that's what this day is all about. You read a moment ago where the crowd shouted and the hosannas, and they brought their palm branches. And we'll read more of that as we go on. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 21, verse 4, all this was done. This is great. Are you guys listening? Yes. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. So now we're talking about Bible prophecy. This is important. This is Matthew, eyewitness account, folks. If you choose to believe this or not, that's on you. But you are reading an actual document that's been preserved for 2,000 years by an eyewitness. If you won't believe him, then why will you believe any post that you read this morning on the internet? And we are so dumb. We say, did you see that? By the way, I just found out there's a guy, I'm telling you this every week, but every week we're getting more and more information. There's some guy that's me out there. He's got a huge ministry going online, and it's me. But it's not me. I didn't do it. He's assumed my identity completely. And he's saying things, it's not me. And people are saying, Jack, why are you saying that? I never said it. And then they go like this to me. Oh, yeah, sure. Now you're lying to me. An imposter. Listen, think of this. This is eyewitness account. Listen, we as a culture are so quick to believe something that somebody posted. And here's an eyewitness account. The question is, will you believe the eyewitness account? And by the way, there's other eyewitnesses that watched the same event. They wrote the same things down. And so it says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken to by the prophet, saying, verse 5, tell the daughter of Zion. Where is Zion? Jerusalem, Israel. Behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's a strange prophecy, don't you think? What a thing to say. Hey, Israel, you want to recognize your king that's coming, the one that was promised in Genesis 3:15? Sure do. Well, here he comes. He'll be riding on a donkey that nobody's ever ridden on before. You say, well, is that it? No, that's one of the hundreds of prophecies, friends. What is Matthew referring to? According to Matthew, this is what Matthew believed. Matthew believes Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The question is, will you believe it? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. What detail? This was written over 600 years before Jesus was born. Every synagogue had this verse in the Bible. Am I yelling? Lisa, no, Lisa's so good. Lisa goes, you need to calm down. You yell at people. There's people here in the splash zone. No, I don't, I get so excited about this. I just, you know what? I want you to be a believer. I want you to follow Jesus. I want you to follow Jesus. Man, he is so good.
pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his special Easter Passion Week message called Live, Jesus is the King. Thanks for being with us today and happy Easter to you. Our prayer is that in celebrating Passion Week, you'll come to realize the urgency to come to Christ, knowing that He is the only way to eternal life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. U.S. strikes, Israel on alert, Iran escalating. Does anyone else feel like today's headlines sound straight out of Bible prophecy? Jesus told us these days would come, not so we'd panic, but so we'd be prepared. That's why we created the Prophecy Pack, Understanding God's Plan for the Future, a practical guide to help you live ready. Don't just watch the news. Understand it through God's Word. Get your Prophecy Pack now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.